Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to the Coaching Coordinator Podcast and week two of the leadership journey of the 2019 season. And joining us on our podcast is the guest host of this series, Brian Kite. Brian, great to be talking to you in week two of the season.
Keith, have you had to work on your DJ voice over time to start off with that velvety introduction that you do so well?
Is it so velvety? I have been working on it. Brian, I was watching the Browns pregame, and there's a guy on there who has just the silkiest, smoothest TV voice. And I've seen him off the field, I work the chains on Fridays, and every now and then he'll be working a camera and you talk to the guy and it's not the voice he uses on TV. And I was so jealous of him. I'm like, I got to work on my radio voice.
It's like, I picture you listening to, late night radio as you drift off to sleep, just ingraining that late night FM DJ, that's very smooth, it's very different than what you hear on the field right now. All these coaches with these hoarse, raspy, worn down voices from running in camp and all that different stuff. So anyway, I hear that introduction and I'm thinking to myself, man, this is a master of his craft, getting that voice to come across so smooth.
Well, BK, I've done this 600 or 700 times too. So eventually, right. Even by accident, you have to get better, right?
That's right. That's right. But hopefully at least, right?
Exactly. Well, our topic today, Brian, is going to be entitlement. And before we dig into that, I really view and I like this podcast coming at the beginning of the week, and it focuses on leadership. And, it's a big part of what we do. And as I look at some of the numbers that come out here and some of the lowest numbers in the high school participation, but I think the thing that's encouraging and why our profession as coaches is so important is that outside the classroom, we still have the biggest participation and can influence the biggest number of student athletes. Like I said, outside of what happens in the school building. So at the end of the day, more than any other sport. So I do think it's important that we focus on how we deliver that. We focus on our behaviors that, like last week, we're living the standards and that we provide our athletes with an experience that they can take as an example and go out and be leaders as well. And I think that's, really what we feel is the importance of this game and how we can influence things.
You're talking about football has the biggest participation outside of the classroom. Football, the sport of football, more people participate in it than in any other sport.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, it is. That's true, and hopefully that continues to be true. And not hopefully, right? The work to continue making that true, because football has such a significant impact. You know my view. You heard me say this. I think football affects people more than other sports, and I'm obviously biased because it's my sport that I played. I love it, and I'm sure if I'd grown up playing golf instead of football, I would feel that way about golf, but I grew up playing football, and so I've got football in my blood and my DNA, and I believe it is the greatest sport in the world. I feel a great sense of responsibility to continue smartly contributing to the sport. And, Keith, I hadn't planned on actually commenting on this, but since we start there, I think, maybe we need to carve out time to talk about this. Probably better in the off season, but I guess I'll put something out on this right now for everyone. Part of what I think about with the sport of football for myself and my contribution is it's my responsibility to evolve with the sport in smart ways. It's not my responsibility, and I work extremely hard personally. This is why I'm hard on coaches with tough love. Right? This is why I come at coaches for preaching things that they don't practice. First, from a place of love, and because of that, tell the truth. It's because a lot of coaches, too many in my observation, are feeling attacked in the sport of football and are reacting by getting stubborn and hard-headed and stupid, like legitimately, right? They're just responding stupidly. Good people making stupid decisions to be hard-headed, to be jackasses, and act like, frankly, entitled people, if we're going to use the word, Keith. And it's our job. It's my job, first and foremost. I said last week, you know, if you didn't listen to last week, go back and listen to it. I said, you have to live by the standards you expect from other people. And so I'm saying this to football coaches because I work incredibly hard on this in my life, not just in football, but especially in football. I have to be a smart person, a smart contributor, a smart improver of the game in 2019 and in 2020 and in 2021. That's where we have to be valuable, not how we wish it was in 2005 or 1994 or what. No, like, we just got to be ready for the game now. So, you know, if you find yourself, and I've said this before, if you find yourself resenting the world and the environment that you are coaching in, leave, because you're doing more damage than good. Either look at the world that we live in and contribute great to it there and where it's going and figure out how to help it become better for the world that we're in and going into, or get out of the position and let somebody get in that role who's going to lead for the world that we actually live in, because you owe it to the sport not to hold the sport back and not to help the sport evolve to where it needs to go. Strong, you know, strong words I'm putting out, but if we're going to take this sport of football where we want it to go and we want it to evolve and get better and we don't want it to die, we have to continue doing better, not get stubborn and do worse and then get entrenched. And you and I talked about this a couple of years ago, didn't we? If you build up walls, people are just going to lob grenades and they're going to destroy you from the outside.
You know, I think this conversation, there's a lot of ways we can go with it. And I don't want to lead it the direction of just saving the game right now. But as you talked about that, you know, this morning I read our local paper, full page, big shot of one of our players from Avon Lake making a tackle in the playoffs last year, perfect tackle, form tackle, heads not involved. And at the top it says playing it safe. And there's a lead article about how some of the coaches in Northeast Ohio in our county are really leading the effort to kind of change the mindset. And there's a coach who's been involved with us a lot, Mike Elder at Avon High School. And Avon Lake, my son's team, plays him this week. It's the big rivalry. But I have a ton of respect for Mike. He played for Larry Karras at Mount Union. And if you talk about a guy probably who, you know, at least if you write down all the things he's done in his career, I mean, he could feel entitled that he could be, quote unquote, that old school coach. But Mike is about making this game something that can continue on and be such a great vehicle. And so he's been very forward thinking, and he's butted heads with people in the community, but forward thinking about how we improve the game. And you could think about him in a successful career as old school, but not anymore. He and his contemporaries barely recognize today's practices, right? So those guys have gone out, and the guys really who he's talked with and whatever it's been, you know, our coach association meetings or informally, they've really thought about, hey, we need to change this. We need to look at this differently. Yet at the same time, I go out and I see, you know, tweets out there like yesterday, mentioned this before we got going, and this one got viral, of an NFL player's son making a big hit, these kids running at distance at each other, and then adults celebrating that hit. And, you know, I look at that, you know, two really 180 degrees difference of the approach. And one guy's saying, man, I love this game. We need to change. We need to do it differently. And so, and a bunch of other people saying, oh, you're soft if you don't do it this way. And, you know, it's such an opportunity, I think, for us to lead. But if we go to that place where I grew up with this game, this is how I did it, I'm entitled to have these opinions and do things like we used to do it, that's where we run into problems, then that's what you said. It's probably time to step aside and let somebody else lead.
You know, I saw that same video on Twitter that you talk about, and I had two thoughts. One, I saw the video, and my very first thought was, that was how I did it growing up. Okay. Number two was, boy, I just don't think that's a smart way to do it. And I don't think it's probably the safest, and it's definitely not necessary. Because we could look at that and say, all right, is that necessary? I mean, that's obvious. No, of course it's not necessary to do that, that particularly that drill at that age. It was not necessary. It's not as if you don't do that, that you've given up the game of football. That's not true. It's not even debatable. Number two then would be, is it super helpful, especially at that age? No, really not. And then number three was, did I do it that way? And the answer was, yeah, I did do it that way. And it's easy to look back at that now and say, can you do that drill 99 times out of 100 and everyone's fine? Sure. But is it necessary? No. Is it worth that risk for kids at that age? No, it's not. Can we improve it and do it smarter and better and bring more kids into the game and still keep them tough? Yeah, we sure can. But you know what? You got to work. You got to come up with new stuff, and you got to evolve. There you go. Like that's the nature. Let's get better. And, you know, I threw something out this morning. Man, if you're an uncoachable coach, I honestly, at this point, like if you're an uncoachable coach, you're living out of integrity. I just don't have time for you. It's all good. It's all good. I'm not going to crush you as a person, but if you're an uncoachable coach, like, don't come at me. I got no time for you. I love you, but I'm putting you in a different bucket. It's like if you're an uncoachable player. If you ever coach an uncoachable player, Keith?
Well, there's degrees of that, and I never liked to settle on labeling a player as uncoachable. I would have those frustrations and really then focus on, like, he's my guy. I'm not reaching him. Where am I missing? And so it would lead to deeper reflection and conversations.
Love it. I love it. I love it. Let's hold responsibility on ourselves. I love it. So let me ask that question better, use better language on that. You ever coached a player that was really hard to get through to, and coaching them was difficult because they had a hard time receiving it, or you had a hard time figuring out how to get it across?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. We all face those situations.
And yeah, that's coaching, right? Yeah. Coaches have the same qualities. Coaches have egos. Coaches have patterns. They have habits. And look, some players are ready to receive feedback. They're ready to listen. Some players can receive feedback and not absorb it as their identity. Some players have very thin skin. And you say something to a player and you have to be careful what you say, because they will absorb it and wear it on them. And, you know, it's tough to recover from any form of what is perceived as criticism of them, or, you know, sometimes it's just straight coaching. And coaches are the same way. So if you can't hear anything as a coach, if you can't be questioned, there's no room for authoritative coaches who can't be questioned. There's no room for it. You know, confidence for sure. Security for sure. Manhood for sure. You know, authoritative, unquestioned. No, there's no room for that. All of this is about improving the game. And so we can all agree that we want toughness. Have you ever heard a football coach, Keith, say, I don't care if you're tough?
No. I don't know if I've ever heard any coach in any sport. I don't think I've ever heard someone say that.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe there's a coach out there who doesn't want tough players, but I've never heard a coach say, I don't want tough people. You ever heard a coach say, I want you to play the game slowly? Like, I want you to move slow and run slow. And no, I never heard that either. Either completely or for the most part, we're in agreement that we want to play the game tough, and we want to play the game fast, and we want to play it smart, and we'd like to be safe. And at the same time, the game is about imposing your physical will on another person. That's what the game is. The game is physical leverage. And so if you can't gain physical, and it always will be, and so if you can't gain physical leverage over another human being, you're going to get beat. There's a lot of ways to gain physical leverage. You know, the root way is velocity, right? It's speed and mass and bam, okay? And what we're learning about the sport, and it makes logical and intuitive sense, is that human beings aren't always built to handle the velocity that we can generate. Like, that's intuitive. The human body isn't always built to respond really well to velocity of mass smashed into velocity of mass. So now we're on this mission of how do we generate velocity and leverage in ways that are smarter, more strategic, and safer. That's what we're trying to do. That's a good thing. That's a great thing. It just requires slowing down a little bit, Keith, in our thinking and our snap judgment. And it requires not getting defensive to be able to say, okay, people are kind of coming at the sport of football. I know let's come back to entitlement here in just a minute, but okay, we're kind of coming at the sport of football. And rather than be reactionary and build up walls and get defensive, which will only damage the sport, again, if you get defensive, if you build up walls, if you attack people, and if you act like a jackass and say stupid things, it will only damage the sport. Improving the sport is about setting higher standards, being more likable, more enjoyable, creating a great experience, and people associating good emotions with you and the game that you support. If you don't do that, you're damaging the game. It doesn't matter if you think you're right. So it requires us slowing down, right? That's it, right? That's it. Now it's just a matter of, okay, well, how do we do that? And it doesn't matter, Keith, if you think you shouldn't have to do that. And this is a good transition into entitlement. It doesn't matter if you think you shouldn't have to do that. I mean, you do. It's the world you live in. That's the world that we're in. So let's be great in the world we're in.
I agree. Too many guys want to rail against that and, you know, grasp onto this is how I did it. And if it was good for me then, it's good for my guys now. And it just doesn't help. I mean, there's too many things that point to we know better. There's better ways. We can be innovative with this. We could have fun with this. It's a huge opportunity if you look at it the right way. But if you want to grasp onto the past and quote unquote traditions that have evolved along the way and the drills that were created 75 years ago for a different purpose at a different time, you're going to struggle with this. And actually, it's always going to feel like you're losing. I'm sure Coach Elder and Avon doesn't feel like he's losing in this effort. I'm sure he is excited about this opportunity. I've talked to him about it. Certainly, he goes up against a lot of people who think he's wrong and shouldn't be doing things this way. But he keeps moving forward and educating people and making a difference.
And that's the name of the game. Keeping yourself in a position of influence, contributing where we are, holding standards, and, you know, making great things happen. It's a good switch, transition over to talking about entitlement today. I wanted to talk about entitlement this week because, you know, man, if you're in schools, if you work with young people, I mean, shoot, if you work in the professional ranks, you know, this word entitlement shows up and, you know, so many things are misunderstood about what this is. And, you know, I'm on record about entitlement and how generations of kids aren't different today than other generations of youth in the behavior traits that they engage in. They're just doing them through the tools that we have. And that's the big difference. And I have no chance of convincing the world of that, but I do have an opportunity and a platform to, you know, educate some people about what entitlement actually is, where it shows up, how many times it's come back in our history, and a number of things. So here's what I want to start with. I want to make sure that we understand what is entitlement and what isn't, you know, a discussion about what people are entitled to and what they aren't, and then maybe talk about some standards for a little bit. So the first thing I wanted to make sure that we're really clear is going back to the basics and understanding at its core, what is entitlement? And the first thing to understand about entitlement is that entitlement is not a new thing. I think maybe the internet era tends to put things in front of us where, I don't know, we get captured with whatever the new meme or trend or buzzword that bounces around every article and every headline, and we think it's the first time in human history that we've dealt with this. First, this is not the first time in human history we've dealt with entitlement. Every single generation in the history for all of time deals with entitlement. Every single one. I recognize that not everybody reads and studies as deeply about history as everybody else. Not everybody reads all the old books and all the old societies and all the old leaders. They didn't read about post-World War II. They didn't read about the beginning of World War I. They didn't read about ancient Rome. They didn't read about ancient Greece. They didn't read about France in the 1500s. I did. I have. I do. Every one of them says the same things about kids and entitlement and young professionals that people are saying today. So the first thing I want to make sure everybody grabs a hold of around this notion of entitlement is that literally everything said today about entitlement, and especially about young people, is the identical thing that every generation of older people has said about younger people. And the problem with people today saying it is that they lack the self-awareness that they're saying the same thing people once said about them. We've got to understand that all of this conversation about entitlement today mirrors exactly the conversation that has been had about every group of youth for thousands of years. But everybody talking about entitlement today thinks that this is the first time that we're ever dealing with this with kids. And it's a lack of self-awareness, Keith. Total lack of self-awareness.
Yeah, I think the difference today is a lot of this stuff, the lack of self-awareness really comes to the forefront because, I mean, we live in a way in such a transparent society at 140 or 180 or however many characters we're allowed right now and on Instagram and those things. And so we see it a lot more. I think it's, to us, maybe a little bit more acute in the way we think about, man, we have such an entitled generation. But I agree with you 100%. This is nothing new. So the approach, though, that we take to it, I think, in understanding it can make a difference right now, really in our coaching too, and in our approach to, you know, the young people that we influence.
Yeah. So that's number one, is entitlement is nothing new. It's centuries and centuries and centuries old. Number two is, what is entitlement? Because entitlement, have you noticed that people will use the word entitlement and just throw it on to any behavior that they don't like about a person?
We throw a lot of words out today. Something we'll actually talk about, I believe, next week, right? These overused words. And I think entitlement is one that is getting to be that way.
Yeah. You know, kid comes out with an attitude that you don't like and, oh, entitled. Somebody has a take on Twitter that you don't like. Oh, entitled. You know, somebody changes jobs at 25. Oh, the entitlement generation. What? Hold on a second. So, you know, and it is all because it's, you know, as soon as you call somebody, you know, entitlement, you're dealing with entitlement, you've now thrown a label that it's really hard to like prove you're not entitled. Think about it for a second. If you were to call me entitled, Keith, like there's no escaping it, right? It's like a black hole that, like, you know, now you're entitled and boom. And it's also, by the way, it's almost always because you're part of a generation. You know, at this point, calling somebody entitled is a form, by age, it's a really dangerous form of judgment based on externals. It's a very dangerous form. I'm not going to go so far as to call it a term of judging people based on other external things, right? There's all these things that we judge people on, clothes and, you know, where you're from and how much money you have and skin color and all these things that human beings do that we're trying to wrestle with observing and watching things that give us clues versus going so far as to think that somebody is or isn't capable of doing something based on some external piece, which we don't want to do, right? Going back to content of our character and impact of our actions, not the color of our skin and all the, you know, these things that we were wrestling with for a long time. But at the same time, you know, if you look at somebody who's 27 and they're on their phone at dinner, and then you call them entitled and you feel sad for this generation, like, look what you're doing. You're just guessing. You're guessing. There's a 50-year-old on their phone at dinner, and you're not going, ah, sad for this generation of 50-year-olds on their phone. No. You do that for the 25-year-old, the one who looks like that, or you do that for that 16-year-old that's flipping through Instagram. You have no idea what they're doing, but you judge them based on age. And so what is entitlement? Okay, let's break this down. Entitlement is what you believe you have a right to, regardless of how you do it. That's what entitlement is. Entitlement is believing you have a right to something, regardless of how well you do it now. Responsibility is the opposite. Responsibility is what you believe that you have to earn through the quality of your actions. And so that's a great line to hold for people and a great definition of entitlement. Entitlement is something that I get this, and I'm allowed to have this, and I get this, and I don't have to do something for it. Responsibility is everything else. It has to be earned. So when we call somebody entitled, the question is, do you think you have to earn it? And here's why that line is so important, Keith. Because people call entitled, but it's this. It's not so much entitled. A lot of the times where we mislabel entitlement is simply somebody believing that they have earned it. You and I can disagree on whether or not I've earned it, Keith. That doesn't mean I'm entitled. It just means that you and I maybe have a different standard for what we think we've earned or not. Like, some people think they've earned playing time if they have shown up to every practice. That's not entitlement. That's a misunderstanding of what it took to earn it. It's just we didn't have a clear standard. Don't confuse that for entitlement. Entitlement is, I get this no matter what I do. Like, you're entitled, Keith, to free speech. You don't have to do anything to earn free speech. I don't know, maybe pay your taxes.
I don't think you have to do that anymore either.
You don't get kicked out of the country. I don't know. Yeah, you might not even have to do that. So what are we entitled to? Well, you know, there's some objective stuff, and it's a small list. And then there's maybe some subjective things. Like, we can disagree on certain entitlements. Like, some people, you know, you get into the political conversation, and some people think you're entitled to healthcare in America. And some people think you're not entitled to it. Some people think you're entitled to make decisions with your own body. And some people think you're not entitled to do that. So it's not completely black and white, and everybody can have different opinions, and we can even disagree on what we're entitled to. But what we need to do is we need to have a clear line of what is and what is not entitlement. And then from there, we have a conversation on what are we entitled to and what do we need to earn. And then here's where the kicker is. What is the standard for earning it in the environment you are responsible for? So here's...
Yeah, as you said that, the misunderstanding about the standards, right? And I think back to, again, our job as the coach. If I'm out there saying, these players are entitled, whatever, that's where I failed, right? That's where I failed in giving those standards and then educating them on exactly what those are and how that hard work is rewarded or not, what needs more hard work.
Yeah, so let me give you an example of why I like this breakdown, because you can apply this to anyone. Again, so we're clear. Entitlement is what you are owed or what you get without having to do anything to earn it. Responsibility is what you have to earn. And then here's the questions. What are people entitled to? In other words, they get it, they don't have to do anything to earn it. You want to come play football? Come play football. You're entitled to have a chance to play football. You get the uniform, spot on the team, some reps. I would say, great, you're entitled to that. Let's go. Now, I probably wouldn't use the word entitled, but to give us clarity, that's an entitlement. You're in high school? Come play. Let's go. But playing time and credibility and accolades and rewards, those are all earned, okay? Then it's this. What's the standard for actually earning it? I can apply that to a high school football player or a middle school football player. But here's where I'm also going to do it. I'm also going to apply that same standard to everyone, including coaches. And so here's the thing. what are coaches entitled to? What needs to be earned? And what's the standard for earning it? And coaches struggle with entitlement. If you're a head coach at a high school, what are you entitled to? Respect? I don't think so. I really don't. Now, here's the thing about this. And let me make the why I say that. Previously in generations, 50 years ago, if you had the title of head coach, in America, it did come with an entitlement of respect. It came with it. It was assumed. It was given. It was handed over. There wasn't any doubt or uncertainty or questions. People, you know, there was very little, you know, there was just assumed you're a head high school football coach. You must be a great guy who believes in really high standards and I trust you with my kids. No problem. It was an entitlement by the standard that I'm using here. Today it is not. That's changed. That's shifted. Same thing came with being a CEO a long time ago. It was assumed, man. You got to there, like you were good. Well, we question these things now. And it's not an entitlement. So respect as a head coach, are you entitled to it? I don't think so. I think it has to be earned. And then it's what's the standard for earning it? And here's the thing, Keith. Here's the thing. If you set standards, people will disagree with them. I want to make sure that we're clear. I want to make sure I'm clear. I want to help coaches be clear. So help people understand what is entitlement, what are people entitled to in your program, what needs to be earned in your program, and then what is the standard for earning it. Here's what you get, and you don't have to do anything to earn it. You'll get this. Here's what you're going to have to earn in our program that you will not get for free and without anything, and here is the standard for earning it. And then when you set those standards as a coach, understand whatever standards you set, especially if they're high, people are going to disagree with them. The higher the standard you set, the more people are going to disagree and the more emotional they're going to be about it. That's okay. You need to make your decisions and they need to make theirs. When you're setting high standards, recognize a couple things. One, smart and good people can disagree with you about standards. If you set standards, smart people who are also good people will just disagree with the way that you set your standards or what standards you set. That's okay. Just because somebody doesn't agree with your standard doesn't make them a bad person. Number two, somebody has to decide the standards, and that's the person who is responsible for the outcome and for how the actual process unfolds. And if you're a head coach, that's you. But look, you set standards as a head coach. Parents are going to disagree, period. So I got one more thing that I want to, before we wrap up, but what do you think about that, Keith? Obviously, you talk with a ton of coaches. What entitlement is, what people are entitled to, what needs to be earned, then setting those standards for earning those things, recognizing that if you set standards and high ones, people are going to disagree with you, and they can even be good people who are smart people that disagree with you because not everybody's going to set the same standards.
Well, Brian, I agree with you 100% about there are going to be things we're entitled to, are free. We open the doors. Football's a prime example, right? We open our doors for everybody. There are no cuts, right? You're going to get your equipment. You may not have the most brand new helmet. A lot of guys will make you earn that. So, I mean, all kinds of standards all along the way. So many diverse things that work within a football program, that work within the process. But a lot of things that are layered in that here's your starting point. Here's what you get. The part where, again, I think we fall short sometimes as coaches is that gap between what they think is the standard and what we're saying is the standard, because we're not clear all the time. We have to be clear about those. And I think, you know, the best ones, and I mentioned a podcast I did and an article we did with a coach out there who went through every aspect of where his program exists and set the standards for here's the expectations, here's the minimum standards for the behavior we expect in this, right? Here's the things you need to do. And here's what it looks like to excel in these areas. And he was very clear about setting those standards so that people could live them. And I think when you do that, you're never, ever going to get away from people disagreeing, people wanting to come in your office and state their case and show you how you're wrong. But the better you can be about laying those things out and being clear for everybody, for all the stakeholders in your program, the smoother things are going to go. Now, it doesn't eliminate all of those, because if you sit back and say, well, I set these standards and you got to live them, and I'm going to point to this page on here all the time. Well, now you're being a little bit entitled in thinking that you don't have to deal with this. So I think it just continues on and on and on, that the entitlement stops at here's what's free. And it is a continuum that goes on forever till those players are out of your program, that it's about continuing for you to build that rapport, to build that trust, to build that respect, and to continue to set those standards, live those standards, and enforce them.
And the biggest part, Keith, for coaches, I'll give you an example of what I mean, a tangible example of what people are entitled to, what needs to be earned, and what's the standard for earning it. So if you've been coaching for 20 years, I don't believe that you are entitled to let people stay out of your way and coach however you want for the next 5. I don't believe that you've earned that. I believe that you are like me. You are on the hook for how good of a coach you are this year. Now, what you're entitled to is you're entitled to operating room, but just because you've been coaching for 20 years, or because, like, it'd be the same thing for me, Keith. Again, my standard. You know, I've been doing this for 15 years. Does that mean that if I go in and I'm not operating at my best, that my client gets to say, well, you know, you've been doing this for 15 years, so I'll let you keep doing that? No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. The standard is I have to earn it every week, every day, every month, and I have to be good right now. So I think one of the areas of entitlement coaches struggle with the entitlement that they think coaching for 10, 15, or 20 years buys them, of I've been coaching for 20 years, so give me credibility. And they think that somehow that is an earned thing based on the past. And that's a big entitlement issue, is based on past time logged. I had a conversation with a guy recently, talked about, it wasn't in coaching, but it was teaching and work. And he was talking about paying my dues. And he's like, I've paid my, then he was, I think it was somewhere around his 60s. And he's like, you know, I've paid my dues, and these young people need to pay their dues as well. And that was entitlement. He was like, look, he thought he had earned something he hadn't earned. He equated the standard of, because he was in his 60s and he had, quote unquote, paid his dues, that he should have things that people who were younger, who hadn't paid their dues, shouldn't have. I don't agree with that standard. I believe the standard that I set, again, subjective, people can disagree with this, but I believe the standard is performance. Are you good? Are you relevant? Do people trust you? Do they like you? I don't believe the standard is, were you effective 15 years ago? Or do you have a lot of time coaching? That's not the standard. Again, and that what that would be is, I don't mind if somebody disagrees with that. That's fine. Smart people can disagree. If a coach comes to me and says, look, BK, you know, I really disagree with you on that. You know, if you've been coaching for 30 years, you know, you've poured your heart and soul into kids, and you know, I think people ought to just trust that. You know, they've never coached and they got to trust my experience. I'm fine with a coach saying that. I just don't agree. We're going to have different standards. I don't believe coaching for 30 years entitles you for people to stay out of your way. I don't. I'm going to look at you in 2019. If you're not good in 2019, then we're going to have a conversation. Not keeping my mouth shut because you've been coaching for 20 years. Not raising the standard because you've been coaching for 15 years. Let's look right now. Now, what does 15 years buy you, though, Keith? What does 30 years of coaching buy you? What's that buy you? That buys you, you know, conversation. That buys you, hey, boy, there's a lot that you've got that you know. Of course, there's something that's entitled there. There's something that you've earned. It's just not complete freedom. It's just not you don't get questioned. It's just not put parents or people leave you alone. And it's just not, well, you get to decide how you want to do it. No one can say anything to you. Ain't going to happen. So set that standard. Define entitlement. Define what people in your area and your environment are actually entitled to. And I'll give you an example. There's differing opinions on, are people entitled to trust or not? And some people are the, you have to earn my trust from the beginning. Others are, I will trust you and you're entitled to trust from the beginning. And then from there, you know, you have to lose my trust, but I'm going to give it to you from the beginning. There is no right or wrong approach. There's yours. So, you know, choose that. Trust can be an entitlement, given, and then observed after that, or it can be earned, not given, and you have to get it from me because I'm not going to give it to you until you do something that shows me I can trust you. You get to pick.
Brian, I, you know, to conclude, I guess, a quick story. Coach has become a good friend of mine, has been on the podcast a number of times. I'm not going to name him here, but he's got 30 plus years and he's won 8 state championships, including 3 in a row. He won a huge national award last year. I saw it awarded to him at AFCA. And, you know, his approach to this season isn't, well, we've won 3 in a row and so we might not have a good year and the people of this town are going to have to give me a break. Like, he's out earning it right now. He knows what he's been entitled to is the opportunity to lead this team in 2019. And that's it. He's going out, and his approach, certainly he's learned a ton along the way, but his approach is to continue learning and continue leading and not have the expectation that the past is going to carry me the rest of the way. I got to keep working if I want to remain part of this profession, if I want to remain in this position. And, you know, I think, you know, whether you're a player, whether you're a coach, whether you're a leader somewhere or somebody, you know, middle management anywhere, that has to be the attitude. I mean, certainly you've learned, you've had successes in the past, you can build on those, but those don't necessarily guarantee anything for you tomorrow.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Brian, it's another great week here, I think, and talking a lot of important things. And, you know, we don't get into the X's and O's on this one, and I like to put this at the beginning of the week again to think about our leadership, our job as coaches, and the things we can do to better lead our players, whether you're a position coach, a coordinator, or a head coach. I think all these things apply. And next week, we're going to continue this conversation. What's going to be the topic which we're going to focus on?
You know, next week, Keith, I want to maybe keep this train rolling, and I want to talk next week about a number of overused words that have lost their meaning and become too shallow and lost their impact. That, you know, I want to walk through some words that coaches tend to use a lot that either get misinterpreted, mistaught, misunderstood, or basically every coach in the world says them. And we need to close the gap between overused words and underused actions. And so we'll come up with a list, and hopefully it's something that we can improve the way we communicate with our teams. But most importantly, we can use these overused words, underused actions as markers for how to actually drive the standards that we want into our program and not get caught using empty language.
If you don't follow Brian, his Twitter is at T Brian Kite. That's KIGHT. BK, how can they get the daily discipline? I know I've read all week long about entitlement and in this topic we talked about today, some great things there. How can coaches sign up for the daily discipline?
Yeah, the easiest way is go to dailydiscipline.com. I actually just launched the new site, super fired up about it, and going to be having a subscription service coming out soon. The email is free, comes out Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. One of the most exciting things that I've done over the last couple of years is send out that email every day. So dailydiscipline.com, you can check out there. Again, a subscription service coming soon to really add more tools and resources into your toolbox for all of you coaches. And then you can also go to my site, and that is tbriankite.com.
Coaches, best of luck this week. Have a great week leading your teams. We'll be back next week for another episode in the Leadership Journey.
Yeah, buddy.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Please check out all we're doing on Twitter at our Twitter handle for coaches at FBDEVCoach. Check out our systems for blocking, defeating blocks, and tackling at footballdevelopment.com. If you register there with your email address, you can get access to our shoulder tackle system, the entire system, as well as three free videos of your choice, either from advanced tackling or from our contact system, which is blocking and defeating blocks. This is some of the best stuff, some cutting edge stuff, I think, that you're going to find is very efficient and effective in the way you teach your players. And there's a lot of drills here that help you improve that skill year round. Check it out at footballdevelopment.com. Check out our coaches' notes on usafootball.com. Go to the resources tab for development and training. Our coaches' notes are given to us by coaches around the country, state champs, some of the NCAA leaders. Those guys have been doing a great job in putting that together in our tips format, which is teach, install, and problem solve. And in there, we also have further review, which we allow our clips to be downloadable, and you can download those and put them into your Huddle. No need for an extra subscription to a Huddle page. So check those out. And as always, go to blogs.usafootball.com for our show notes, our analysis articles, and coach. Finally, if you're enjoying the podcast, head over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rate. If you have a minute, write a review. It really helps out the podcast.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.